in shining swords of brass, which push their way through unresponsive paths of silent earth. How can I see creation in such mood and not feel God and see him very near? I wonder at the mystery of life, and as I see a helpless little babe with hands upon the circle of the breast, and mouth pressed close, for this is very life. More eloquent no sermon e'er could be. God comes and stands close by my very side, and something of this mystery I see. You know, it's in a little babe's pressing hands, or didn't you know it? The urge to live, that hidden strange mystery. The urge to live. Who ever told a little baby to do that? How many know? Like every mother, how many know those little hands there? I call it the circle of the breast. How many know that? Even a kitten knows to do it. All that sweet to me. I see God in all of that business. That old comfortable mother and all these little pumping away. Oh, I think it's beautiful. It just thrills me. More than some sermons I've heard. It thrills me and gets me into the things of God quicker than some sermons that I've heard. I want to say, for heaven's sake, sit down, brother. I'm dying. Get out of here. But I can't. I have to sit here. Praise the Lord. Don't you see that God is in that? Yes. Now, wait. I want to tuck in there, but I'm tempted to, but I don't want to either. But you know, while his hands are still upon the circle of that breast, and it is being fed, and it is perfect, it's getting its nutrition God's fashion. Mother had four children. I never saw a nursing bottle until I was 20 years old. We were brought up in the old-fashioned way. When that happens, how many of you know, we all know, does that baby have the slightest idea of who he is or where it is or what it's about? Not at all. Now, there are Christians who are yet with their hands pressing upon the breast for the sincere milk of the word. It's right. And he says it'll be given. How we know it's Bible. I've seen people in spirit pressing their hands on the pastor or on the Bible teacher's body. What? Pressing. What? For the sincere milk of the word. He has no consciousness of anything more in diet than that. But God says, dear, there's a weaning time. A weaning time. And so the mother says, now, dear, you've nursed long enough. Now you're going to be weaned. And you're going to learn to take food so-and-so from silver spoon grandma gave you. That's your initial promise, see? And move. And the little baby, and the baby said, wonderful. And he began to eat. He did not. How many mothers know what did it look like? How many mothers know how you it just screeches and paws and claws and fights with you? It will have the rest. I know. And the mother, how wonderful. She just says, no, dear. Oh, no. Don't. Now, you know how she does this? It's a bar. She detaches this sense of attraction from this to another field. It's good psychology. It lets her become interested in thus and so. Is that a good technique? That, now, God would do that too. So, no more. But I got blessed, oh Lord. I went to the canyon. He says, no, you can't stand it. You don't grow on a milk diet. You bring a certain stage of maturity, but you can't build muscles and bones and live. He says, you can't have the mother weans the baby. Now that's a difficult period, and your mother knows that. Isn't that so? You've got baby sand to you. And isn't it a difficult period to teach them detachment and a correct new interest? Detachment. A correct new interest. Still feeding. Not that old technique, not that old method, not a milk bottle, but a new process. Do you know what happens? Well, by and by, it has to eat some meat. It hasn't any teeth. Lo and behold, he didn't have us all born with sets of teeth. I had a great uncle who was born with his lower teeth. I had a really great uncle. And when he was born, all his little teeth were in. He was a few yards ahead of the game. No. And so, you'll have to come to a place of teendom. Isn't that right? Teething? What are you doing? You're cutting your teeth. What? Make me uncomfortable and unhappy. No. Getting you ready for some meat. When you get the meat, you'll just love it and you'll forget all about your teeth. How do you remember when you were teething? How do you learn what you process? The disagreeable aspect will fade, but that for which it was intended remains. I got these teeth now. They're all my teeth. I had quite a teething time getting them through because they're like horses' teeth. And didn't that hurt me one time? I've always been conscious of this setup that I had. I didn't make it. Mother had some friends in to call. Superintendent of the Sunscreen wife had just moved, and their little boy came along to listen too. And so mother sat here with me, and I was over here, and the little boy sat there with his mother. And we were all strangers. All of a sudden, he says, "Mama, he's got horses." Oh, can you imagine a little boy like that? Well, if you struck me, he was so amused at the set of teeth I had. These were, I cut them like this. And I know the young one with a set of teeth like this. I mean, you know, your teeth don't grow. They just come in there, and they are. 5 years old and set them for out of the Irish way. No wonder he says, "Mama, he has horse's teeth." And of course, mother was embarrassed, and so was I. I was scared. I thought, "Hey, he had horses." I thought, "Well, I said, we don't got horse's teeth." But how very amusing sometimes and funny. So I had time cutting my teeth, but they lasted me pretty near 80 years, 78 and a half, will be 79, not soon down, but just still crying, still eat. Well, now get at this. It's a very disagreeable period, but it's very necessary. Very necessary. Why? To masticate your meat and the strong meat. I had to learn so I could chew and eat it properly. Is that in the Christian's experience? How many know it is? How many know a good reverence for it? A good reverence right now, come on. A good reverence for it. What about the bride of Christ in the Song of Solomon, where he describes her from the mouth to her feet and all? And she has teeth, you remember them? All clean, like sheep coming up from their washing in pairs. In pairs and not one missing? Well, why? She has to know something beside manna, dear. You can eat manna without teeth because it was so soft, it was just delightful. How many get some? Are you getting somewhere this morning?
Yeah.
Well, don't be afraid of your teething period. Some come to me and don't know what's the matter with them, and I give them a little analysis and pray a little bit for them and listen. Now don't be scared. You're teething. Teething? Why, I'm grown. I said, I know, but not spiritually. You're a baby in Christ. He's bringing a transition in your experience from a field where you eat
and drink the sincere milk of the word with your hands so comfortably upon the breast of the mother. That's the comfort you have in the presence of God pumping. How many know he's the breast of God?
Yes.
He is. Look at all the it's all I got scripture, everything I've gotten about. Yes. Don't worry. I can tell everything in the Bible. It's all in there. How many know he's the breast of God? But he says, take your hands down. I'm going to bring you over here. And then he sets us in a brand new experience so that we can eat. And so that's why I wove that one little sentence in here. What is it? A revelation of God to me when I see a little babe with his hands pressed upon the circle of the breast of that mother. That's where my hands have been pressed, on the breast of God, for my first nourishment, to give me my first impetus, my first moving into the things of God. But then I had to be weaned.
So do you.
So you see, isn't it nice when God can talk to you looking at a baby? And you say, funny looking baby, isn't it? Dirty little thing. First thing somebody says, smelly, dirty. I know it. Can't you see anything or smell anything on your head besides that? Well, you won't get far with God knowing how to see and not to see. And as I see a helpless little babe with hands upon the circle of the breast and mouth pressed close, for this is very life, and of course it is, more eloquent no sermon e'er could be. Now change this. I single leaf all ripe and falling from the tree now finds a quiet resting place in earth. How many see it's completing its cycle? How many get its cycle? How many know that leaf was in the ground? It had come up through a strange process and came out to be a leaf. How many know all nature is a complete cycle? Everything we have moves in cycles. Everything we have is in cycles. We don't know what's in it. Now finds a quiet resting place in earth where it belongs. My heart is hushed. My spirit bowed to God. For lo, I find him even here, to show in simple form the ministry of death. Didn't it die? Has a resurrection and come forth again. That's your cycle, dear. That's your cycle. Don't be afraid. Sometimes he comes in such a delightful mood. I saw him smile in dash of silver wings against an azure sky one day in June. And often when I'm worn and tired in mind, I feel him move like music in the trees. I see him in the shadows of the clouds against the distant hills and o'er the fields. And when I view the wonders spread abroad, the rugged heights and painted chasms deep, the crashing waterfalls and the deserts calm, it is not these alone that I behold. My God is very near, present in the scheme, and silently, in awe and reverence, my soul bows down in worship at his feet. He does not speak in words for outer ears. His presence is too subtle for my eyes. It is with heart I ever feel him near and trace with inner sense his fleeting form. His revelation seeks a thousand ways, articulate and clear to outer sense. But deeper is the vision that I see when unannounced he comes to me and meets me in such sweet, informal ways. You like that?
Yes.
How do you get the move on? Sweet, informal ways We didn't have an opening hymn for it. In for. But in tune. I'll read one more, then I'll talk to you about something else. I want to read you this. We've been talking a great deal about the power of the Holy Spirit, the dynamic for the building of our new Christian life. We know that. It is the power, it is the means by which this structure, this new creation is built. It cannot come forth, it cannot be built under any of the mechanics of the human. Its philosophy, its creeds, its technique, it cannot come that way. It has to come through the medium of the Holy Spirit using natural things. You have to use a lot of material things. We use the educational processes, but it doesn't work until what? The Spirit of God moving through that in its vibration and power, then it touches, then it ministers. And so, this eternal urge, this tremendous breath of God, that I've written two poems about, because I'm so conscious of the Spirit, and so it's so a part of where I'm living that I can't get free from it. It holds me, it fascinates me. I have another one, I think, called The Breath of God. Is it there? Oh, breath of God, that's the Holy Spirit. I cannot live apart from you. You're the very essence of my life and being all the way through. So this time, I got a glimpse of it, that this eternal urge is the Spirit, or the breath of God. Now, in your Hebrew, the word Spirit is ruach, guttural. And it means breath, or outbreathing. Ruach. Outbreathing. How many of you, that's like expelling the life, you get your breath. Now there's where you get your real meaning of your word in your Hebrew is ruach. It's the outbreathing of God. Well, what is your breath? The Shemite. What is the Holy Spirit? It's the very life of God. It's God's, the Spirit of life. The Spirit that characterizes God is the Holy Spirit. Where did it come from? It's a part of God. It's always been. He is a part of the Trinity. Does he begin to show himself when the world is here and we're here? No, it was through him that the world was created. Everything that is manifest, because he is the agent. God the Father, we call causation. All three are in it. The Son executes, but it's all God in it. The Holy Spirit brings to its completion the whole design that God wants. That's why you can't get anywhere in the world, in your living, or in the movings of God without your Trinity continually moving. God the Father, that's causation. All things were planned in him. Jesus executes the will. Expedient that I go away, the Holy Spirit will now come and take up the things which I have left you. He will not originate a thing of himself, but he will take that which I have brought and bring it through to its completion, to its final, to its ending. So I thought, well, how far back has this marvelous breath of God been moving? Well, our breath is reported to us through what we call our pulse, isn't it? We hold our pulse, don't we feel our pulse to see if there's any more breath left, right? Pulse. If you stop breathing, how many of you know your pulse wouldn't work? No, it's indicative. This is indicative of what's going on here. It reports here. So I said, I see how that goes. Eternal urge. This is this eternal of God. Eternal urge, strange pulse beat of my God. I welcome every throb and mystic stir. The long, deep silences which veil past have known thee well and trembled to strange joy. majestic move you pass them by, on, on, and ever upward in thy reach I trace thee in thy tireless, endless ways the vast expanses of this universe. They respond and vibrate as you move through them. All nature, inarticulate and bound, thrills at thy touch and reaches out her arms, mute prayers, but eloquent in faith, sublime. All nature, your groans won't be in vain. They'll never be in vain. All nature reaching out her helpless arms, they are mute prayers. They are prayers. They are prayers. They're bringing through. The groan of their prayer is bringing redemption. All of nature, inarticulate and bound, thrills at thy touch and reaches out her arms. Mute prayers, but eloquent in faith, sublime. Thy holy breath has quickened me to life. I joy to feel thee move upon my house, this tenement of clay in which I live. I joy to share thy life, which makes me know I am a part of this great cosmic whole. But deeper rests the ecstasy divine, that burning in the inner sacred shrine, a fire of God, fanned by his eternal breath, illuminates my spirit, and I see. A miracle has come to grace my life. A threefold consciousness. Now, this is your Trinity. A threefold consciousness is what God has arranged. A threefold consciousness. I want to talk, I want to pray, I want to move with God, I can't just now. Oh, shall we be compressed me? Oh, shall we be to put something? Excuse me. A miracle has come to grace my life. A threefold consciousness, that's my entity made into a trinity, completes my grasp. All that combine to make me who I am is turned into a hunger infinite. Do you get it? If you have found that you are turned into an infinite hunger for reality and God, you haven't gone too far. You don't want to see who we should have done. All that combines to make me who I am is turned into a hunger infinite. My being is a thirsty desert loaned. Though nameless incompletion haunts me here. Isn't it terrible when we sense the incompletion of the whole being? How do you get the groan of nature in your heart? How will you sigh with the spirit? How will you pray with what? That terrible inner consciousness of incompletion. The whole pattern has not come through. Redemption has paid a price. But how many, you see what I mean? We grow for that completion. Well, it's coming. Keep groaning, dear. Sometimes it's terrible. But there's an answer to the groan. There's an answer to it. My being, all that I am, is turned into a desert, lone. Though nameless, I couldn't name it, though nameless, incompletion haunts me here. God feeds me with immortal bread and wine. A fount of living water pours within. Strange paradox that life should thus be lived. Eternal urge, sweet token of God's faith. Though infinite thy task, thy end is sure. Completion and perfection of his thought shall yet be known in every phase of life. A faith triumphant like a holy drive, sublimely moved. Carries all to God.
Don't rush me.
I too, although so small an item here, caught up and placed within this mighty plan, can now partake of life and light in Him. And though the yearning for the perfect whole is turned into a groaning, deep and dumb. A song triumphant is its sequel, sure. A new creation now, I find myself in process of becoming God's ideal. Eternal urge, mighty breath of God, move on. In floods of endless life, excuse me. So let it be. So let it be. Mais le nom j'ai des visages, j'ai la mort à Nicolas Tissot. I am with thee. I will guide thee. I will carry thee. The end is not yet. Bones like a jibuha, the Syrianta, the nation of the world, the Mirabutanse. No. Trials of discipline. Trials and discipline. To the injured croc, the miserita. But fear not. Oh, Mirabutan, say to the monta. No, I am with thee. My arm is strong. My sight is sure. Come. Surrender to me. Yield to me, Tunga Savipo. Live in me. There is no life in me. The eternal breath of God, the eternal urge, fear not. That urge is within the innermost part of your being. He longs to possess and to hold sway, to dominate, to lead, to control, to comfort. Yield to this eternal urge. He is awaiting it in your heart. Fear not, but be exalted, how ill we shall pass. Fear not. It is the eternal urge of God. He has awakened something new fear in you. Fear not.
Instruments in whom you may be glorified
in whom you will take pleasure. That's all we want to give thee, Lord. We have many works to offer. We have our little broken lives, our broken hearts, our disappointed hearts. We bring them to thee, in whom you may be glorified, in whom you will take pleasure. That's all we want to give thee, Lord. We have many works to offer. We have our little broken lives, our broken hearts, our disappointed hearts. We bring them to thee. If you have to disappoint us to bring us, then we accept the disappointment. If you have to disappoint us, we accept the disappointment. If you have to disappoint us, we accept the disappointment. It will be a deliberate agency in thy hand. It will be a salvation. It will be a salvation. It will save us from a ruin and another greater disappointment. Help us to accept our disappointment. Help us to accept them, lovely, precious, holy one. And let thy love soothe our hearts. Soothe them. They're sore. They're tried. They're so sore at times. Soothe us with the love of God. Nourish us with this word of life. Feed us continually from thy hand. Help us to walk carefully with thee. Carefully, Lord, carefully. Don't let our own understandings hinder. Help us to accept thee, thy purposes, thy plans. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Both excuse us out of trouble. I am done to say I want to speak. I am giving you a message of the Holy Spirit. How we got somewhere. I don't want me to talk like this. It wasn't planned at all. If this came along, but it must be for some. A present disappointment will save you from a greater disappointment. That's strange, isn't it? Accept your disappointment in God, the love of God. That lovely, marvelous thing called the love of God will be your sustaining portion. That will carry you. That will carry you. I suppose it's time to go. I don't know. I get all mixed up. I can't tell where I am or what it's all about. But are you sure you received something this morning? Mm-hmm. Let it be to your hearts. I've just been reading that song. How many of you know now, when you read these things, just a lot of things back? They aren't words here. No, they are just a combination. I couldn't write that. Do you know how this came, this eternal urge? Well, it was so on me. And I was in a convention in Chicago, a missionary convention. And I had to be on the platform, and I was with some people speaking. And all the time I was speaking, I was no more there than a man in the moon. I was out of this power, this eternal urge. And I went back to the missionary home in Chicago, and I would eat my lunch quickly, and I'd go up, and I would just pour out maybe four, five, or six lines like that. And I said, oh Lord, if I could only be away from all this meeting business and funny folks and everything and get somewhere. But I couldn't. I had to just lay it all down, put on my mask, and yes, praise the Lord. And I said, the day of that nearly kills me. But I went through and went back home. And when you finish it, that's how that thing came. You see how they come? You don't sit down to write something. You don't sit down to write something. You sit down to release something. You release it. You release it. May I read one more? It isn't quite time. To show you what I mean by this moving in our spirit. Now, this is one. It isn't in my book either. I have enough now of poems to get out another book. If anybody doesn't know what to pray about, say, Lord, for mercy's sake, get Colette going on this and help him with it. Because it takes time. I can't be out on the field preaching and teaching and helping people and writing a book and then getting out a book of verse. Now they want my song to put in shape. Pray again. I want to read you this Sacrament of the Hills. How many of you have been up in New England? Have you been there in the fall? Well, if you have, you're quite near heaven. Because I don't know of anything more marvelous than the coloring that we have in New England in the fall. We have New York too, but you push back against it, the hills, and the coloring is just out of this world. It's tremendous. And of course, I just go wild. I don't know where I'm in it. I can't help it. I'm just lost with it. And those people who know me, they let me go on. Aren't they good to me? I say, well, God bless you. So I had gone to hold a meeting. I was up at Proctor, Vermont. And the autumn, its first lovely coloring splash had more or less faded. And the coloring was coming into what I call the subdued, harmonious coloring, rather than your coloring of loud, flashy splashes. Now, in color, I'll give you a little point now. I'm an artist and I paint and I know about what this is. Let me help you with it. There is a law in the arrangement of color that reacts in us in a sense of beauty. The law of contrast and the law of harmony in color. Now, much beauty is given to us because the colors are in direct opposition, or in a contrast, or even in an arrangement. But it's a law of contrast. Now, another time, your beauty will come to you because you may only have one color note, but varied in four varieties of shadings and colors, and that's what we call a harmonious. It is a color in its harmonious scale, chromatic scale, we call it. How we like in music is chromatic. Well, that's the way I see color. I enjoy the spectacular flashes which always come first, our flaming swamp maple, which is a brilliant, beautiful, original swamp maple. And then the lovely golden maples that go with it, and then the sturdy oaks, and of course all the rest of them. And the ash tree, which is always in lavender. She's rather peculiar in her choice. How many like the white birches? You know what they are? They are like maidens, sweet 16. How many know they don't have a strong, robust parent? How many know a lovely white birch? How many know it's too delicate? It couldn't be a sturdy oak. I always think they're a ballet dancer. I always see them on one toe. I always do. That's the way I see them. I see them that way. Is it wicked to see them that way?
No.
God sees them too, so. No, that lovely white birch standing there. To me, they're sweet 16. And I see them as a ballet dancer. Oh, it's a white birch. I couldn't see that in an oak. He's a warrior. He meets all the blasts. And his arms are gnarled with muscles. Isn't he? Well, the personality of trees, don't you worry. I know them. I know how they talk, too. Do you know in the fall, in the fall, you can, winter, early winter, you can blindfold me and take me out in the woods and put me under a tree. You can do it. I'm under a pine tree. me around. The wind's blowing. I'm under a white oak tree. You take me off. You know how I do that? There's something in the sound of the wind in those trees that is just as different as the notes on the scale. I know the sound of the wind in at least five different trees, and I'm divine for it. How many of those kind of fun? I have a lot of fun. It isn't necessarily religious, but how many of it is after all, too? Because you're in key. So when it comes to these trees, they are all different in personality, every one of them. And in the fall, I like that early first splash because I enjoy the beauty of the color through a law of contrast. You have your deep, heavy pine trees, your backgrounds, and then up coming over here, splashes of the yellow and the scarlet and all those marvelous colors just splash, interspersed with the ballet dancer every while she comes in like that. How many of you know how they do in New England? And those lovely white, want to go home this week in New England. Yeah, well, that was fine. And I enjoyed it. You know, as I got older, I began to sense another sense of beauty. When most of the brilliancy had faded, I didn't find I was enjoying them from a law of contrast, but from a subtle law of harmony. Harmony. The colors began to do what? They didn't seem to be in contrast. They seemed to fade into a grand union, a strange mystical pattern. The gray went into a green, and the green into an old rose, and the old rose into a tan. Oh, you know what I mean. And every bit of that creation gave itself to it. Certain oak trees, when they fade, how many of you know they are a perfect old rose? Absolutely, a perfect old rose. They're not brilliant, but it's a type. They are old rose. How many of you know a sumac when it comes with its torch of fire? The brilliant red that they are, all those fingers like that, you see them for acres, you know, just brilliant. Well, I went, and my friend who was entertaining me, I was in his home, said, Follette, would you like to take a ride this afternoon? It's Sunday afternoon, but would you like to go for a ride? And I said, well, why wouldn't I ride on Sunday like Monday? But he was kind of pious. He thought maybe I had religious scruples that I should just preach and fast and hold hands weekly all day Sunday while I said, be paralyzed. He said, would you take a ride? I said, I'd take anything where God is. I said, if he's big enough to make that, I'm going to be one of his children to look at. So I said, sure, we go for a ride. Well, people sometimes, you know, go out for a Sunday ride. Well, I said, oh, are you a Jew in your Holy Sabbath? Can't you wiggle? I said, well, sure, I'm going to go for a ride. Then he became apologetic. He said, you know, now these hills a few weeks ago were so beautiful. They were so brilliant. They were so brilliant. They were so lovely in their color. It was so pronounced. The maples and the ash and their soul. He was just a... And I was just having a feast because they had faded. All that brilliancy had died out. And it was the most marvelous harmonic scale in coloring that you'd ever want to see. It was, to me, just fascinating. Because I was enjoying it from a sense of harmony and not contrast. I watched certain bits of them. How many of you know sometimes the fading grass will move into a stone wall and carry its color scheme right through? Why, certainly, if you're an artist, you'd see that right away. Certainly. That grass has to be that color to make your scheme right. Well, grass is green. No, it isn't. You think it's green. Sometimes it's gray. And so I was just having such a feast. And we came to, this makes me think of it, a sort of a canyon where there was a gorge, a kind of a canyon and a gorge. And here in that gorge was a sort of a pocket of brilliant, brilliant, brilliant sumac, just red. And it had been creeping its way down through the mountain. While all the rest of it was in this marvelous harmonic scheme. This, here it stood. And I kept looking at it. I said, that's right. This is Communion Sunday. You say, you poor nut. No, I'm not, dear. I just love things, that's all. I love you for listening to me. Thank you so much. Because a lot of people think I'm off the beam. You don't think I'm really off the beam, but don't. I'm not off the beam. I'm just getting out of one here. I said, this is Communion Sunday. Well, here are the hills with this holy sacrament. And here is the, like a chalice. All I could think of was a tremendous chalice that God had held like the blood and tipped it over like that. How many can see the chalice is empty and the blood is running down through? Do you get it or not? There is your, it was spilled, poured out the light. And here were these gleaming rocks and so I said, well, there's bread and your wine. Well, I said, this is a holy communion. This is a holy communion. And so I had a holy communion without any tablecloth. And I enjoyed it. I thanked the Lord. I said, I see it, Lord. But he said, do you see the real beauty, the real wonder of it is in its harmony and not so much its law of contrast. I said, that's right. Well, when Jesus was walking the earth and meeting the multitudes, how many of you can see him outstanding? Do you get him outstanding in the law of contrast with the sinning world, or can you see him do that? How many can see him outstanding in contrast to the sinning world and the general public? Not because he had a white dress on, but what was it? His spiritual power and force, which was moving in him and through him, and he, under the power of it, became what? Outstanding, didn't he, among the people? No man spake like him, no man acted like him. Well, why? How do you know? That beauty was a law of contrast between that holy man, the Son of God, with a background of broken humanity. And we always love it. We love to see him featured like that. And I said, that's right. Then he turned to me and he said, where do you find another marvelous work in beauty in his life? It's on Calvary. It's on Calvary where he's spilling his blood. And he is manifest as what? A peculiar combination. He is the Son of God, clothed upon with human identity that we spoke of yesterday, being crucified for the salvation of the world. How many of you see a strange mystical harmony between God, the Son, and man? Can you get them? Mm-hmm. How many know that was all made one through Calvary? How many know the union? That was all made in Calvary. That was a harmonious, strange thing. Could everybody see that harmony? No, the very ones that loved and saw him in the harmony of the law of contrast, a man doing the unusual, speaking the unusual in a contrast, how many ever saw the law of harmony on Calvary? God uniting himself with flesh, perishing, dying to redeem it. How many get that? I know somebody who saw that law, God the Father, and he was pleased with it. The angels in heaven saw a harmony, most magnificent harmony, in that Son when he's on Calvary, separated from the light that he has leading up to it. How many are following me?
Yeah.
Do you get me? Well, that's mystical, isn't it? It's strange, but that's where I am. I didn't try to see anything. Yeah, I see it, that's all. I'm glad I can see. I don't try to see, I just see. I just see, that's all. I was in the presence of it. And I said, oh, what a wonderful, harmonious thing. a harmony of contrast 3 weeks ago when he was walking the earth, but a most tragic and dynamic harmony when he hangs on Calvary, and a harmony in which God is able to trace, and a harmony that the prophets long to see. They long to see that harmony. We saw the lovely Jesus walking. Well, that was on my heart. Then I always get tied up with things that I can't handle. So that stayed in my heart all day. We went home. Of course, I chattered on the surface of things and ate the supper and everything. But my heart was there. Lord, I've seen something. I've seen something. Next day, I had to go down to Hartford, Connecticut, and speak at the Ministerials Association. How many of these everlasting associations and the everlasting programs of the association? How many of them I died 17 dead? I can't take up with them at all because I'm not made that way. I never attend conventions and funny things like that. They kill me. I can't do it. I just can't. That's all. If you want to kill me, take me to one. I can't take them. It takes me all the grace because half the people there, I can't be near them. I have been to some of them, and when I feel the vibration of a certain spirit of a man like coming, this is horrible. But I had to walk down an opposite aisle because I didn't want to touch them, and I didn't know them from Adam's off ox. Never seen him before. But what did you feel? I felt a strange vibration of what? Of education. He didn't know anything about the calmness of the spirit of God. And it was in him. It vibrated right in. And I had walked right down the church aisle like that pleasant, you know, shaking in on the door or something. Now, isn't that a bad confession or is it? How many of you know I'm very human? But why? Because now other ones didn't. They were just eating bologna with him. At the finish time, hallelujah, why not, brother? You know. And I said, oh, Lord, I'll perish. Take me out of here. They didn't know anything about that. Not the slightest. So I went to that meeting, and I said, Lord, get me through this. I want to write something. I feel it in my heart. I want to write. And Lord, help me keep this thing in my spirit that you let me feel. I've been in a communion over Sunday. Now, Lord, help me retain that atmosphere. So he did. So then I sat down and I wrote it. The sacrament of the hills. I quote this from the Psalms. The strength of the hills is his also. I have seen beauty. My heart cannot sing. How can I tell in words the sacrament of truth God spreads upon the autumn hills? How strange the silence deep within my breast when I behold this miracle of his grace. The wine is mighty. Drink deeply, my soul, and taste the dregs of beauty that convict. How many of you know all that scenery is what? The ashes of the beauty that had been up there about 3 weeks ago, hadn't it? Yes. Think of all that beauty that was complimented and everybody loved. How many of you know it was reduced by the scorching sun and the frost and the scorching sun? How many of you know it was reduced? He didn't want that glaring marble. He didn't want that. And so I said to my heart, feast upon this wine, my heart. Taste the dregs of beauty. That was beauty. How many know that all that beauty was reduced to just dregs? This glory hath departed. Ichabod might be written over. Glory hath departed. Taste the dregs of beauty that convict. My heart, so long athirst for truth and light, drink of this wine and know its subtle tang. O hungry eyes within,
Look.
And behold the glory and the mystery of truth, eternal and sublime, upon the hills. God's finger traces there, in language sure, the message of his strength and endless love. Beauty translates it. And I understand. A feast is spread. My hungry heart must feed. The broken bread of glory sacrificed. Strong meat for thee, O heart of mine, is here. How can I sing? My heart convicted stands. Oh, beauty, how you challenge me to prayer. Upon my spirit, etch thy image fair. And sing, O heart, this likeness, all divine. Interpret then in life this sacrament of truth. The beauty of the autumn hills. Do you like that one?
Mm.
How do you like it? How do you feel God in it?
Mm.
How do you know God's all mixed up in there somewhere?
Mm.
How do you know truth's all mixed up in too? Well then why not have God and enjoy him and feast with him wherever he is? I feel like praying, and Russell Elijah says, oh God, open the young man's eyes that he may see. I often say, oh Lord, open their eyes that they may see. The hills are full of chariots. Oh, I thought there were trees. Oh. How many of the hills are full of chariots? He said, open his eyes that he can see. He was seeing chariots. They were chariots. God bless you. You're all dismissed. God bless you. Thank you for listening. You are just so wonderful. Thank you for all your kindnesses to me. You've been nice to me and generous to me, and I just thank you and thank you so much. And God will reward you. And when you don't have anything else to do, pray to me.
Thank you, brother.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
This is your thing.